Well, if you do, please turn in your Bible to the passage that we read, first of all, in 2 Peter. So if you turn to 2 Peter, first of all. Before you, on the screen, is a picture of a famous young man, a soldier and a poet. His name, Wilfred Owen. He once wrote, "My subject is war and the pity of war. The poetry is in the pity." Owen is famous for poems like "The Send-Off," "Anthem for Doomed Youth," and possibly one of his most famous bears the title with the Latin "Dulce Aetecorum Est," which means in English, "It is sweet and honourable." That poem arose out of Owen's own bitter experience. He was involved in the First World War. Indeed, he was hospitalized in 1917 for shell shock, having witnessed the horrors of trench warfare. And in many ways, in the poem, "Dulce Aetecorum Est," "It is sweet and honorable," he brings a very graphic, and some of the young folk, you may have studied this poem at school. Maybe if you were like me when I was a young lad, I didn't realize how poetry was actually a wonderful thing, and maybe only as I grew up a wee bit realized that it is a wonderful thing. And he basically says in this poem, "If you had seen, if you had heard what I saw and what I heard," he goes on to say in this poem, "if you had seen and heard these things, my friend," and I quote him here, "my friend, you would not tell with such high zest to children ardent for some desperate glory the old lie, dulce aetecorum est, pro patria mori." And in English, "the old lie, it is sweet and honourable to die for one's country." He said, if you had seen it, you maybe wouldn't be so quick to say it. Because it was bloody. It was awful. It was dreadful. It was horrific. I was there. I saw it. As I said, Wilfred Owen was hospitalized in 1917. He was redrafted in 1918, and aged 25, he was killed in battle on the 4th of November, 1918, and on what became Armistice Day, the 11th of November, 1918, his mother received the news that her son was dead. You see, the moving thing about Owen's poetry is that it comes from one who was there. "I was there," says Owen. "I saw it." This morning, we think for a few moments of someone else who basically says to us, "I was there. I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. I was there." And there is a power, isn't there? It's what I've just told you about young Wilfred Owen is actually a very powerful and a very moving story. you would have to be very hard-hearted not to be touched by what I've just told you. And it becomes even more poignant because he was there. He wasn't sitting in some ivory tower writing about these things. He saw it. And he died for it. And this morning, as we think of the Apostle Peter, it's exactly the same. He says, I was there. I saw it. I heard it. And you know what? He died for it. Peter is about to die. We know that from what he writes in this passage. If you've got your Bible, look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. Peter says, because I know that I will soon put it aside, the tent of this body, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Peter is about to die. He's about to die. We don't have time to go into the details today. He's going to die under persecution from the cruel Emperor Nero. Peter is going to be martyred. And what Peter says here in these verses, he says to his friends, to his fellow believers, and indeed to all who hear his words down through the generations, he says, look, I want you to understand that what we have told you is not some clever story that we have made up. Verse 16, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses. We saw him. I was there. I saw him. I heard him. He begins to make an apologetic. And there's a little picture of another person, C.S. Lewis, who was a great Christian apologist. And if you've got your Bible, if you just glance back to what he said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. There are times, believers, that we have to make an apologetic. What does that mean? Well, to put it in plain English, it means you have to be able to say to somebody, look, this is why I believe what I believe. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says this, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Let me ask you a question. It may seem a very personal question, almost slightly pointed question. Have you ever had doubts and fears? I'll answer it for you. Of course you have. Have you ever questioned things? Yes, you have. Have you ever wondered why you believe what you believe? Yes, you have. And you can imagine that some of these Christians in Peter's day, who were actually also about to be martyred, they were about to die for their faith. And you can imagine some of these dear Christians, whether they said it out loud or whether they didn't, they might have been saying, goodness, I'm about to die for this. What is it that I believe? Why do I believe it? And you can imagine some of these Christians in the midst of the struggles and the persecution needing to go back to the basics. Because if you're going to die for something, you need to be pretty sure that you're dying for something that's true. And Peter says to these people, look, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we did not follow cleverly invented stories. This is not some story that I have made up. This is not some new idea that a few of us have got together and came and said, oh, there was this man called Jesus and all these amazing things happened. We were there. We saw it with our own eyes. That is the power of this passage. And today, in this Remembrance Sunday, we just ask ourselves the question again about the message of Christianity. Why do we believe the things that we do? On what basis do we believe these things? What is the ground? What is the authority? What is the foundation? And it raises the whole issue of the authority of what we believe. It is a huge issue. It is a massively important issue. On what grounds do we believe the message that we claim to believe? Why should people believe the gospel today? Why should people believe in Jesus? On what authority? On what basis? The late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, commenting about these things, said this. Now, this is obviously something of absolutely central importance. The whole question is this. What guarantee have we for the truth of the Christian faith? What is our authority for making this unique claim for the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And the interesting thing that what Peter does here, he doesn't appeal here to some exalted point of teaching, which he could have. Nor does he even appeal to the fact and saying, you know, my life has been changed by this. Your life could be changed by many a thing. It may or may not mean that the thing that has changed it is true. He doesn't make an appeal to any of those things. He says we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Folks, if you want a fancy couple of words for this, it's what Christians describe as the apostolic testimony. In other words, it's the testimony of the apostles. Why were the apostles so important? It's because they were eyewitnesses of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't get it second hand or third or fourth hand. They didn't go down the street someday and somebody said to them, yeah, somebody was saying to me that they heard the other night that somebody mentioned at some meeting about this. No, they saw it. They saw it. Today, you could listen on the radio or Google it on the internet and you could hear testimonies from people are still alive, who were involved in some of the D-Day landings, and they would say movingly, and they would tell you, look, we were there. We saw it. It was dreadful. It was awful. And Peter here, in the very same way, he says, look, I was there. It was wonderful. It was amazing. And what you have in the New Testament is basically the testimony and the witness and the evidence of those who were there. You see, this is the thing about Peter and the apostles. They were there. Just let me give you one little example of how this is used. Acts chapter 10, if you want to look at this, that's fine. Acts chapter 10 and verse 39, or if you want to just listen. Basically, what's happening here is Peter is in the house of Cornelius. And Peter begins to speak to these people. And he says this is a significant verse, Acts 10 and verse 39. He says, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And they killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead. We were witnesses. In other words, think about this just for a moment, folks. Peter says, look, I have seen these things, these miracles that we talk about. I was there. I saw Jesus touch the lame man and he got up and he walked. I was there when he touched the blind man and he began to see. I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. I was even there on one day when he touched the person who was dead and they rose and they walked out of that house. I saw it with my own eyes. I was there whenever Jesus calmed the storm. I was there whenever a man possessed by evil came up and everybody was scared stiff and Jesus spoke a word and the demons fled and the man's life was changed. I saw it with my own eyes. I was there when Jesus rebuked the wind and stilled the waves and calmed the storm. I was there when Jesus carried his cross and when he was nailed to that cruel, bloody cross. I was there when he said those words, "It is finished." I was there when he gave up the ghost. I was there whenever they took his body down and put it into a tomb. And you know what? I was there on the third day and the stone was rolled away. And the Roman soldiers said that mighty angels appeared and he is alive. I was there, folks. Do you see the weight that that begins to carry? That is the apostolic testimony. And in this passage today, and we don't go into all the details, he basically reminds these Christians of how on that day when Jesus went up the mountain and he was transfigured and they saw his glory, they saw something of his majesty. I was there, Peter says. I saw it with my own eyes. So here's the question this morning. It's a very, very simple question on this Remembrance Sunday. Here's the question. Do you believe him? Do you believe Peter? Do you accept this testimony? How do you explain these apostles like Peter? Let me put this to you. Is it likely that the men who wrote these gospels and these letters were liars and fabricators and frauds? Is it likely that they invented all of this? Why on earth would they invent all of this? Is it likely that Peter, who just before Jesus died, was scared stiff in front of a wee lass of a girl and denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus in case anybody would say anything to him? Does it make any sense that a short time later that Peter's prepared to stand up and say, "Look, even if you kill me for this, I'm going to stand up and preach it because I was there. I saw him with my own eyes." And here Peter is, he's about to die. He's about to be martyred. Is he going to be martyred for something that he knows is a pack of lies? Just some funny wee story that he cobbled together? And I haven't even mentioned the fact that, of course, there were many people living in Peter's day who could easily have stood up and said, "You know what, Peter, you are a liar. All that you've told there is a pack of lies." But they weren't able to do that. Why? Because it was true. It really happened. This testimony that he bears to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth and life and miracles and teaching and atoning death on the cross and glorious resurrection. And this morning the question is this: do you believe it? Do you believe it, folks? It's either true or it isn't true. It's either true or it's false. If it's false, I might as well not even finish this sermon. I'll just go home and get a new job. But if it's true, and we believe it is true, because of the evidence, because of the weight of the evidence, because of the weight of the testimony of people like the Apostle Peter, who says, "Folks, I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. I sensed it with my own senses." This is not some clever little story that we have made up. Do you believe this testimony? Does it sound credible? Does it sound believable? Well, if your answer to that is no, well, then you will just walk away and do your own thing. But if you believe that this sounds credible, and this sounds believable, then what you will do, if you have not yet done it, you will say, I need to get right with this message. I need to repent and believe this message. I need to be right with the God who has inspired this message. And I need to go out and live this message that others may come to see it for themselves. Peter is saying to us in this second letter, make your calling and election sure, brother and sister. These are not cleverly invented stories that we've come up with. We were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. And as we said at the beginning, that other poignant, moving story of young Wilfred Owen, who said, my dear people, if you could have seen, if you could have heard what I have seen and what I have heard, then you would think carefully about these things. And the Apostle Peter says to us this morning, if you could have seen what I have seen, if you could have heard what I heard, if you could have sensed all that I was witness to, then you would be ready even to face your death, because you know that these are not stories that have been made up. We saw His Majesty. So young person, struggling maybe with doubts and questions and worries and anxieties about these important matters, there is strong, strong reason why you can stand firm upon the testimony of the Word of God. These things are true, and you can depend your life on it, and you can even depend your death on it, because Jesus Christ is King and Lord of all. My older person here today, maybe you're struggling with some doubts and fears that you would never dare mention to someone else. Go back and examine these things for yourself. Go back and test these things, and you will find that there is strong reason for each and every one of us to stand firm upon the apostolic testimony of people like Peter as he bears witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His glory. Let us pray just for a moment. Father, we ask that you would help us to see these things with fresh eyes of faith. Strengthen our faith. Help us to stand firm upon the testimony of the apostles contained for us in the Word of God. Lord, strengthen us in our faith. Help us to make our calling and election sure. And we ask it all in our Saviour's name. Amen.